What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast 129, Athletic Trainers Going Global. This week, we have a couple different guests. We have Wade Hopkins. He is with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or FCA. He's been with him for about 19 years. He also was in pro football for about 5 years, where he graduated from 2000 from Southwest Baptist University, where he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame. No, 2000 inductee into the Hall of Fame. He graduated from Sam Rayburn High School, which is right here in our school district. And that's where actually Sam, the one that you can see in the red shirt, Shakira, the one that you can see there, he now works at Manville, but he used to work at Sam Rayburn High School, which was his first job out of college. Correct, Sam?
Yes, out of grad school. First full-time job.
Yeah, first full-time job. So Wade's been married for 21 years and has 3 kids. And so now we're going to briefly introduce Sam. Sam, like I said, he worked at Sam Rayburn, graduated from SFA grad school. Where did you go to undergrad?
Howard Payne University, Brownwood, Texas.
Howard Payne.
Graduated from there in 2010 and then went to SFA.
Now working at Manville High School. How many years in the profession?
Five professionally with a license, yeah.
All right, very cool, very cool. And then Paul?
Hey, guys.
You didn't fill out any of the information there, so.
Oh, sorry. Thought you already had it.
All right, so tell us briefly about yourself there.
Well, my name is Paul Waller. I am the president and founder of Christian Sports Medicine Alliance. We are a global sports medicine ministry that is really one of a kind and really the only ministry of its kind in the world that actually engages the sports medicine community with the gospel. I've been a professional for over 17 years. I've worked at 3 different high schools, started my professional career at Robert E. Lee and Tyler, and just recently, 2 years ago, resigned from Timberview High School in Mansfield, Texas, and took on the full-time position of taking CSMA globally and working with people like Sam and Wade in helping our profession, not only athletic trainers, but other professionals and students within the sports medicine community, putting them and giving them opportunities to live out their faith and get on the mission field either domestically or internationally.
All right. So there you go. There's an introduction for all 3 of our guests today. Of course, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. My student sitting right beside me is
Jose.
Shakira.
Gabby.
Matthew.
Olivia.
And then we have Jess and Leslie over there typing in show notes or working on social media. Bob is also on Twitter. So on Twitter is hashtag DSMB or at PHS Sports Med, which is me. But all of those are on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. All the links to the way you can connect with us, be part of the show. We also have 4 people part of the show. Bob, who's listening live? Tell me their name. Jackie Gonzalez, Rob, I think it's Rob DeJohn, Nicholas Jones, and Eugene. All right, so I don't think Eugene has been part of the show before, so welcome Eugene and then everyone else that's watched live before, so thanks for joining us. All right, without much further ado, we're going to get to this.
Sam, can you tell us about yourself briefly?
Yeah, so like Jeremy already said, I've been in athletic training for 5 years now. Personally, I'd worked 2 years at Sam Rayburn High School, and now I'm currently the assistant athletic trainer at Manville High School. I've been involved with FCA now for the past 4 years. Had the privilege of going to their regional camp at College Station 2 of the past 3 years and volunteering as an athletic trainer there, which is a huge blessing as an athletic trainer to volunteer your time there and work with these great athletes for a week. I'm married. My wife, Cassie, is the intramural sports director at Houston Baptist University. She also does outreach athletic training stuff for Memorial Hermann Hospital. That's about it, unless you have anything else.
Wade, can you tell us about you?
Yes. I grew up in Pasadena, Texas. Went to Sam Rayburn High School. My parents divorced when I was young, as I've connected the dots, maybe 1980, and then my father moved to Dundee, Scotland, 1983. I say that to say this last January, Super Bowl weekend, went to see my dad, Paul, for the first time in 32 years.
Mm.
Flew to Dundee, got to see him and my brother who lives in London, who had moved over there to be with my dad. So growing up, I didn't really have a father figure. And so as I think about FCA and coaches have played such an integral part of my life, and unfortunately trainers have played as much of a part of that with some knee injuries and stuff, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, coaches have been the father figures that have kept me in the game long enough until I could realize what the game was really all about. So it's been a blessing as I've played football and now gotten the chance to minister to those men and women who have impacted my life in such an amazing way with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes the last 19 years. So it really does fit hand in glove with what the Lord brought me through without a father, sports being so important, coaches being the driver of that, and now I get a chance to invest in the lives of coaches because FCA is really not a sports minute. I mean, it's not all about sports, it's about evangelism. And it's really not all about kids, it's about coaches. And those coaches have influence as they have had in my life. So it's a real privilege to be on the show and to get to tell my story.
Paul, is there anything else?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, with Wade's sharing his story, it's kind of the same as mine is, you know, I knew what I wanted to do with my whole life, which is to be an athletic trainer when I started when I was 14 years old. Born and raised in a little small town up north of Frisco called Salina, Texas, which now is not going to be small anymore in the next 3 to 4 years. But, you know, I ran track when I was in high school. I wasn't the fastest person in the world, but it was because of coaches and my high school coaches that sent me to my very first Kramer student athletic training camp when I was 14 years old in 1983, 84. That dates me a little bit. To see if I would like to do that. And since then, since I was 14 years old, I'm 45 now, but that's what I knew. I knew what I wanted to do the rest of my life. Did not realize that back then, obviously, that in 2013, when I resigned from my full-time position at in the public school system, that I would be leading a organization that would be giving back to my profession that I have so much loved and love still and have passion for and love my colleagues. But now we are giving back and we're serving, trying to come alongside our profession and serve them and meet their needs in a way right now that's may not be met, and helping and partnering up with organizations like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes that where we can work together and partner together to impact the campus even more so.
Do you have any more stories about your experience as an athletic trainer? Sam, this is a question for you.
The biggest thing that I've been able to do professionally is to go and work in the NFL for a training camp internship. Got to go in 2008 and work with the San Francisco 49ers. It was an amazing experience. I met a lot of people. It really pushed me professionally and just exposed me to a lot. I mean, Howard Payne's a D3 school. You don't see a whole lot. You know, that was really my first full-time experience as an athletic trainer because in high school, went to a small private school. We didn't have a full-time athletic trainer. So being exposed to that level of sports medicine was awesome. And it's a different reality of life. You see, you know, the professional aspects, those athletes, they live a different lifestyle. So to be able to be a witness on that level was a huge blessing for me. And it pushed me in my, you know, my faith as well.
All right, Paul, same question. Any more stories as far as athletic training wise?
Yeah. I mean, I've had, you know, since 1994, I mean, I've had opportunities to travel pretty much all over the world. Started in Madagascar and went to Madagascar. I've been to Africa 9 times. I've been to Belize. I've been to the Dominican. I was in Dominican this past summer working with an organization called Cure International, which is they have hospitals all over the world that treat children with abnormalities like clubfoot and cleft palate and so forth. But this particular hospital in the Dominican also works with Major League Baseball. And I was able to visit many of the MLB baseball academies there in the Dominican and visit with their athletic trainers that are on full-time staff here from the States, and also the Dominican athletic trainers that are there just to serve and to work and to use whatever knowledge they may have. And, you know, for me, I mean, it's just been an incredible blessing to take a skill set that I have and Sam has, and to use that to give back and to serve in a way that a lot of people don't really realize and think of. So, yeah, it's just been a great opportunity for me because I've been given opportunities to travel all over the world.
All right, so Wade, you mentioned athletic trainers being a integral part of your life. Do you have any specific stories or just can you share maybe some of the injuries or some of the ways that you've dealt with athletic trainers?
Yeah, when you think about, you know, often say that coaches are the first, you know, the first responders in so many ways. They hold so many titles. You know, they're not just a coach and a teacher, but, you know, they're a counselor, they're a father figure, a mother figure, they're, you know, they're a transporter. I mean, my coach would pick me up and take me to practice or take me home after practice all the time. So when you think of what coaches do, it's far beyond what they get paid to do on campus. And the same with trainers. You think about, when do you most learn? You know, you don't learn when you're on the mountaintop and everything's going well. You learn in those moments when what you think is your life seems to be taken away. And that moment when I was laying on the turf at Tully Stadium in Spring Branch playing the Mustangs, and I blew my knee out, my left anterior cruciate. I mean, I bawled like a baby, not because it hurt so bad, but because I just realized my life, my dream was over. You know, my life was over. I didn't know the Lord at the time, and I had no real, I mean, football was everything. And I was a great kid, made straight A's. I mean, I never had one day of detention, but I mean, football drove my life. And when that seemingly was being taken away, I mean, you think about the opportunity the trainers have in that moment with a young man or a young woman when everything that they know in life is no longer right there in front of them. What an open door to be salt and light. What an amazing opportunity to really calm them and be a balancing force as they sit there and weigh what's going on. So yeah, John Schmitz was one, you know, the Pasadena district trainer who really took a real investment in my life and helped me. I mean, he studied and developed training techniques, and I'd show up at Memorial Stadium and we would work out together, and he would hold, you know, the other end of the bungee cord, or he'd strap on the other end of the sled and just and work me out to get my knee back in shape, to get me back to a place where I could continue to pursue the dream. So trainers like John have stepped in, and goodness gracious, I'm trying to think of a trainer's name at Clearbrook High School. Older gentleman, legend. He was at HBU for a little bit. Come on, throw out the...
I don't get down to Houston very much.
I mean, I wish I could think of his name. He was at Clearbrook High School. He ended up taking over at HBU.
Tom Bradley?
In retirement.
No, it's not Tom Bradley. He's not older. I mean...
No, this guy's retired, and then HBU kind of snagged him for a while because I was over at HBU and saw him. This was several years ago. But I remember I had come out of Canada. I was trying to get back in the league, and I'd had another scope done to kind of clean up some cartilage stuff from the high school injury. And I show up over at his place, and I mean, I'm just a nobody from nowhere, and he doesn't know. I mean, but man, he about killed me. But he pushed me in ways that got me back on the field. I mean, it was incredible what he put me through. But he saw something in me, as all coaches do, than I see in myself. That's the story of athletics. I mean, as young whippersnappers, we think we know everything, but coaches see so much more, and they don't allow us to settle for. And those moments in the training room, regretfully, I got to learn how to turn all that stuff on. I learned how to put all those pads on for ultrasound. I didn't, you know, that's one thing you don't want to learn as an athlete, but I learned all too well how to do all that. And so many trainers walked with me during those lonely roads of recovery.
Sam, what made you decide to seek ways to help others in need?
It goes back to high school. I was actually homeschooled. I had the opportunity to play sports at a local private school in Grapevine, Texas, Faith Christian School. As I stated before, we didn't have a full-time athletic trainer. We had a part-time guy who'd come out once a week, and then he'd be there on Friday nights. I was a big baseball player. I never played football. Didn't really want to play football. A lot of my friends wanted me to play. And so the coaches came to me and said, hey, you know, do you want to be a part of the team? Do you want to be kind of like a student trainer, manager type? And I was like, yeah, sure, I can be that. And so that kind of got my interest in athletic training, and kind of helping others and being there. Because if something happened during practice, you know, they would kind of send them to me, and I'd make shift a bandage or whatever I needed to do to take care of them until the contract guy could come out. That really sparked my interest in sports medicine, and kind of took off from there, really.
Mr. Hopkins, what made you decide to seek ways to help others in need?
Seek ways to what?
Help others in need.
You know, I get so many phone calls now because, you know, you, as the scriptures say, those moments that you walk through, the way that the Lord comforts you, He uses you to comfort others. And I've received so many phone calls from young athletes who have faced injuries, a lot like mine, knee injuries or something, where you can now tell them what to expect. You can walk with them through because of the instruction and the care given by the trainers. Now I'm kind of, you know, again, regretfully consider myself, you know, part trainer because I'm all too familiar with so many of the techniques. But you can really help young people now and others going through the same situations. I just had a scope done on my knee, my good knee, my right leg, you know, and I had a little meniscus. I had to get shaved. And so I go to my first rehab appointment. Well, I set up my first rehab appointment, and they said, okay, next week, Wednesday, this was a couple weeks ago. And I said, well, man, that's a week away. What do I do between now and then? Because I know the drill. I mean, I need to get in the pool. I need to get my range of motion. I need to get on a bike. I need to, you know, get some tubing and start working. And the person looked at me like, well, if you're going to do all that, why do you need us? And so I was real coachable. You know, so many trainers like Paul and Sam have taken the time to invest in my life. And now I feel like I have a lot to give back to those who find themselves in similar situations like I faced.
Yeah, see, one of the things that I see, you know, I'm on Twitter a lot, and one of the things I see is there's always kind of like two stands. Like, there's athletic trainers that seem to be positive and promoting the profession, and then there's the ones that are kind of bitter, and, you know, they're always kind of griping and complaining. And so one of the things that I want to make sure that I'm doing is being positive, because if a kid comes into me in the athletic training room, I don't want to just gripe or complain and say, well, you're just not doing what I say, or just go suck it up. I want to be an encouragement. Mm-hmm. I want to be somebody who makes a difference, like Wade there, you know, going to John because he wanted to get better, because John believed in him and was a positive. If John was a jerk to you, Wade, you wouldn't have been going back, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So I just don't want to be that jerk that the kids don't want to come back to. I mean, yep. if it's they don't want to come to me because I'm making them work, I understand that, but I just don't want to be the guy that's either rude or sarcastic all the time, that coming back to them or keeping them from coming to me and getting better. So, all right. So, Paul, what about you?
I'm gonna kind of piggyback on what you just said, Jeremy. That the one thing that I have seen, one of the main reasons why that I have kind of ventured in taking this journey is, because I have, just in my area, I have had over the last 10, 12 years, several of my colleagues that have suffered tragedy, either personally with their families, either going through divorce, have suffered, you know, kids being paralyzed from neck injuries. Kids have died because of sudden cardiac heart trouble, cardiac arrest. We've had several of our colleagues here in the area that have had kids just die for unknown reasons. And I personally have experienced in my professional career, I've lost two students and I've lost a coach. I lost a coach about 3 or 4 years ago, 29 years old, died of a heart attack at home in his wife's arms. The one thing that I have realized that with athletic trainers, and I think Sam can attest to this, is that we are going pretty much nonstop from August 1st until June 1st. We don't really get a time off. We don't really get a break. We don't really get a vacation. We're always going. And we are in a profession that is always in a serving. We're always giving to multiple teams, multiple coaches, multiple athletes, multiple parents, multiple administrators all at the same time. And I think, Jeremy, what you were saying is very, very true. When there is nothing positive, when there's nobody pouring into a athletic trainer's life in a positive fashion, that there's no way that athletic trainer can pour out positive. So that's one aspect of what Christian Sports Medicine Alliance wants to do, is that we want to come alongside our profession, our colleagues, our professionals, because I get it. I know. I've been there. I've been in the trenches. And to do life and to pour positive, be a positive influence in their lives. And I say that when I use the word positive influence, and Wade will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. I have a picture of a picture hanging up in my living room. It's called Influence, and it's called it's number 18. And I really think that picture sums up not only obviously the mission and vision of FCA, but in a roundabout way sums up the mission and the vision of what Christian Sports Medicine Alliance is all about. Because Wade and I were talking a couple of days ago on the phone, is that FCA and CSMA, we are now here in Texas at least, we have a vision. We're going to tackle campuses. We're going to tackle the community. We're going to work together to be a positive influence on the people that we serve, and to work together and to invest in the life of Sam and invest in the life of his wife and other athletic trainers in that area here in North Texas and all across the state, and eventually it'll spread across the country. Is we want to give back. We want to be there for our profession and provide them with opportunities to gain positive influence, to live out their faith on their campus, and then hopefully engage them to do international or domestic work.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take a shot here, and this is pretty vulnerable. So I know Gabby's coming there injured. I'm not sure if Bob's coming there, Jose, but also I'm dealing with my student athletic trainers. So if I say that I don't want to be a jerk, I don't want to scare people away, I don't want to be rude, am I living up to that? Am I living up to that? Was I rude to you in any way, or did I turn you away in any way, Gabby, whenever you came in there with your broken finger? You got to talk on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Be very honest. What was your perception? Oh, let me turn your mic up. All right, go ahead.
No, not really.
No? So did I in any way encourage you or make you feel good about coming to the athletic training room, besides the fact that I told you your finger's probably broken?
Well, I mean, you made me want to go actually check it out, even though I kind of waited.
All right. So let's switch over here to Jose. So we've dealt with issues with you before, Jose. What do you think?
My back issues. And maybe not want to come back because I wanted to play.
Okay, so maybe, but was it?
But besides that, yeah,
it was just because you wanted to play and not have to sit out.
Yeah.
So it wasn't personal. It wasn't that I was rude to you or anything like that. All right. So Matthew, Olivia, as student athletic trainers, how do you feel working with me? Am I somebody that you feel is rude or negative? That I'm not positive. Am I somebody that encourages you?
No. I mean, wait, yeah. Like, I mean, you can be strict when you want, but other than that, I'm like, you're a good athletic trainer.
All right. Matthew, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, like the same. Like, you're encouraging and positive.
So do you feel that I'm, because you're around me, you guys are around me a lot, do you feel that I am ever rude or like a jerk to the athletes, somebody that would discourage them to come into the athletic training room?
No, you have manners, and you're nice, I guess. Yeah, you're nice.
Okay, because it's easy for me to say this, but whenever I, you know, it's for me to ask you guys because you can see it from a different perspective, and so that's why I just want to check. If I'm saying this, if I want to live by this, then I just need to check and make sure. So, all right, so we're going to go back to the questions for our guests here.
Sam, what has been your best story from one of your experiences serving?
I guess I'll keep it with FCA. So my first year at FCA camp, we had a football player who 2 days prior to the camp had cut his arm pretty bad, got several stitches, and the doctor had originally told him that he wasn't going to be able to do anything at the camp. And he begged the doctors, and no, I've got to go to this camp. You know, I've been waiting all summer for it. I got to go. So the doctor said, okay, as long as you cover it and keep it clean and take these antibiotics, you can participate a little bit as tolerated. So he gets to camp, and his parents give us, you know, the doctor's note and what we need to do. And for some reason, they hadn't been able to get the medicine until that day, so he hadn't taken it yet. So first day of camp, we get out. He takes his medicine and breakfast. We go through drills all morning long, and he really doesn't participate. He doesn't feel very well, so he kind of just stays over in our athletic training corner. He's just kind of talking, and I get a chance just to kind of talk to him, get to know him, get to know where he's from, a little bit about him. Really nothing more than that, just a basic conversation. And come lunch, he starts feeling worse and actually starts vomiting. So we send him back to his hotel, his camp room. He stays there all afternoon. Well, at night we have doctor's clinics where some local doctors from College Station come out and volunteer their time if we have any sports injuries or just illnesses. and we take him to it, and long story short, he ends up having a seizure while he's there. So we get him to the hospital, get him checked out, and lo and behold, he actually had an allergic reaction to the medicine that the doctor prescribed. Just didn't know it because he hadn't taken it for 2 days. It was the first day that he had taken it. So they send him home, and he begs his parents to come back once he feels better, which they allow him to do, but he can't participate for the rest of the week. So the last couple of days at camp, he's just hanging out over an athletic training corner, and just, again, just talking to him, talking about sports, talking about life. And at the end of the week, he ended up giving his life to Christ. And I never really had a big conversation spiritually with him, but I feel like he wanted to come back, just because of the positive experience they had. I was just talking to me, the other athletic trainers, and the other people there at the camp, because his whole focus all summer long had been going to the camp and actually participating in the drills. He wasn't able to do that, but he still wanted to come back and be a part of it just because of the environment. So like what Jeremy was saying, you know, being a positive role model and just having that positive influence with our words and with our actions and our demeanor as professionals, I feel like that is important.
All right, so Wade, same question. Tell me about one of the stories you serving.
Well, I'll tell you a story about being served. John Schmitz, again, I remember showing up to Pasadena Memorial Stadium, and it was probably early 90s. Maybe had just gotten cut from the Oilers, was trying to get in shape to hopefully sign with the New England Patriots. And I mean, it was like Hurricane Alicia. I forget which one it was, but I mean, it was a driving rain. The wind was probably 50 miles an hour. And he and I were the only two. I remember this vividly because I'm running with the bungee. John's at the other end of the bungee, and it's a driving rain, vicious wind. And I think to myself, I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one out here doing this. And you try to get a competitive advantage thinking, okay, I'm more committed than everybody else. But I think back to John and his commitment to me as an athlete. And as I hear Sam talking, I just want to share with Jose and Gabby and Matthew and Olivia. What Sam just said, you create an environment for healing. And it's not just the medical you provide, it's the positive attitude, because what heals people? I mean, if they don't think it's gonna work, it's just gonna take it longer. If they don't buy into what you're doing, it's gonna slow their progress down. And so the whole environment you create as they walk into that room, I mean, when they're lifted up, when their attitude is right, when they believe in what you're doing, I mean, the healing process is so much faster. And so I just wanted to encourage you young folks as y'all get into this. I think of nurses and doctors, and that's what y'all are, trainers. I mean, y'all are in the medical field. You know, it's by definition, it's almost like my daughters, they're cheerleaders. And I said, girls, cheerleaders by definition root for others. I mean, they encourage others. It doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. They are all about others. It can't be about you. And I see Paul and Sam, and I think about John. It's about others in these guys' lives. I mean, it's about those athletes that come to them. It's all about them and how can they not only get them back to doing what they're doing or what they want to do, but investing in their lives so that years from now. And so as you think about what's in it for me, I mean, it's almost nothing. I mean, almost, there's a lot in it for you, but it's not in the moment, because in the moment, it's about healing this athlete. But years down the road, I wish I could go back and see, you know, O'Neal, the head trainer for the New England Patriots, Coach Heyman at SBU, and look him in the eyes and tell him thank you for everything they did to help me be who I am today. And so I've just been on this, in this interview panel, I have, the Lord's really encouraged me. Gosh, I can't think of one trainer that I had a bad experience with. They all were so positive and encouraging. And I'm so blessed because I look back in my life and the coaches that were involved in my life and the trainers that were involved in my life. I mean, I have so much to be thankful for.
All right, Wade. Thanks for encouraging the kids. I know that, you know, it's hard for them to sometimes see past today, and so just them being able to see you and know the difference that it made in your life. And, you know, you being in the NFL tends to speak to them a little bit more because they're like, oh, well, you know, he was somebody, that kind of thing. And so I really appreciate you just sharing with them and really addressing them. So thanks. All right, Paul, tell me about one of your best experiences serving.
Oh, man. Probably, you know, it's really since I've been since I was working in the traditional setting in the high schools in Tyler and then in Ennis for a year and then 9 years at Timberview, it's probably been some of the most rewarding times for me as an athletic trainer, as a professional. You know, I work contract work now, PRN work for Texas Health here in the area. But, you know, those days in the athletic training room, and Sam can attest to this too, and you too, Jeremy, that when you're in there daily, and I love, you know, the one thing about Facebook and social media, especially Facebook, is that I have been able to stay connected and reconnect with former athletes. And I have one in particular in mind that she just got back from Israel. She played her basketball at SMU and actually ended up being the all-time leading scorer for SMU. And then she went on to Israel to play in the professional league. And I remember very, very vividly meeting her in the seventh grade and then following her all the way and being with her all the way through high school. But her ninth grade year was pretty monumental to me because her parents saw something in me that the way that I cared for her and took care of her and just really took an interest in her life, not necessarily her athletic ability, but her life in general. They pretty much put me in charge of her while she was on campus, which I probably saw her more than her parents did during the school year. And just being able to have kids, former students, when I was at the school, come back and visit or even contact me through Facebook or send me a text message or an email and just, you know, let me know how much they appreciate what we do and what I did for them as an athletic trainer during a time where they really believed it probably at that moment that their career was over. One girl in particular, she played at Stephen F. Austin. She went through 3 ACL surgeries in a matter of about 2 years. And having her contact me, even though she doesn't play anymore, being able to be with her for during those 3 ACL surgeries and the rehabs, and that's 3 years of rehab every day, and watching her and being there for her, and her contacting me years later and just thanking me for never giving up and always being there for her and trying to be as positive as I could, you know, and just really not necessarily being an authority figure, but more or less being a friend at times, because that's a lot of times what they need. That we do as athletic trainers, we get athletes at a time where most other people don't get them. We get them at a time at their lowest, their most tragic time in their life, when they may be facing a career-ending injury, or at least they think they are, and they need someone. They need someone in their corner, because the coach doesn't have the opportunity sometimes to single out one player during a particular time like that, because they have other players to take care for. So you know, they look to the athletic trainer, and they want someone that will be in their corner to provide for them, and that I'm just blessed that I have been able to do that in my career, and now being able to, like I said, give back and to work with people like Jeremy, like yourself, Jeremy and Sam, and also partner with Wade and his ministry that he leads here in Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas, to see how we can come alongside us as athletic trainers and people within our community to help us and further us along.
Sam, how has this helped you professionally?
What we just talked about?
Mm-hmm.
I think going back to what everybody's already said, just kind of, number one, validating that it's important to create that positive environment and just being able to see the results. I mean, that's encouraging to me, just knowing that if you create a positive environment, like Wade was saying, you know, the kids are going to want to come and they're going to be a part of that, and they're going to work harder and do the things that you tell them to, and they're going to get better faster. And I think, you know, personally, it kind of validates, okay, number one, I can do that. I can be positive. I can be a great role model and just have a good working environment. And then number two, it, you know, it works. The kids want to be a part of it and they want to come and enjoy that. Not that you enjoy being hurt, but enjoy getting better and bettering yourself so that you can go back on the court or playing field and do the thing that you love.
All right. So do you think that your last year there at Rayburn, y'all had like 30-something student athletic trainers?
38.
And so that's a pretty big number. How do you feel that that perspective, you know, the keeping a positive environment plays into that as a student, as an athletic trainer recruiting student athletic trainers?
Oh, it's huge because they see, you know, what you're doing and that it's fun and they want to be a part of it and learn. I mean, if you're negative about everything and you're constantly getting on your kids, they don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to be in that learning environment. But if you can make it fun and interesting and rewarding to a sense, they're going to want to be a part of it and come out and work hard for you.
All right.
Wade, how has that helped you professionally?
Well, I mean, I shudder to think what would have happened in my life apart from the influence of coaches and trainers. You know, in high school, I blow my knee out first game my senior year. I mean, everyone around you is saying you can never play again. I mean, and I love doctors, and they're only telling you what they have to tell you, because if they say, sure, you can do it, and you don't do it, then they might get sued or something. I don't know about all that. But so doctors in themselves just kind of have an opinion. But the trainers, an athletic trainer understands the body and understands the world we're in, and they breathe life into you and walking with you day by day. I mean, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have, you know, forget the NFL, forget FCA, forget 19 years of ministry, world evangelism. I wouldn't have gotten an education. Who knows, but that I would have just dropped out of school. I mean, who knows that after high school I would have gone on? And so the role that the athletic trainer played in getting me back and to seeing myself even having an opportunity to get back on the field was everything. So never underestimate the role you play in the life of a young person. Because when they walk in that room, they think their life is over. Their dreams are shattered. And everyone around them, I mean, I hate to say it, but the world's not going to pick them up. Everyone around them, hey, you need to stop chasing your dream. You need to get on with your life. And yes, I was getting an education. I'm going to get on with my life, but I still want to play. That doesn't take that desire away. And so, yes, all that counsel was appropriate, but there were only one or two people that thought, hey, you can do this. And it was my trainer and my coach. And so the role you play in the life of young people, you'll never be able to measure what that is. And so I'm so thankful for their attitudes as they related to me, because my life will never be the same.
Paul, yes. How has this helped you professionally?
Oh, gosh. Well, professionally, I think it's just helped me deal with, you know, in ministry wise, it's kind of helped me look at my profession a lot differently. You know, in it, when we're in it the whole time, that we kind of have a hard time of, you know, seeing the forest for all the trees, I guess. And, you know, now that being removed from it and kind of pulling myself out from the traditional setting, which Jeremy and Sam are in, and seeing it from a different perspective, and hearing from them and hearing from other people that we are reaching, one across the country and around the globe, of the struggles and the trials and stuff that they're dealing with on a daily basis, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, because we're interacting with all of them, of just the overall day in, day out trials that an athletic trainer goes through. It's helped me professionally look at my profession differently, in seeking ways of how can we as an organization, a ministry, meet that need? How can we help our fellow athletic trainers deal with and navigate through a crisis, a tragedy, or how can we come alongside them and pray for them and provide resources or tools that will help them be that positive influence to their athletes or be that positive influence to their student athletic trainers? Are you know I don't know if, I mean, it was for me, I don't know if it is for Sam and Jeremy, but there was a lot of times where there was a lot of conflict between us and coaches of how to, okay, you know, they want a kid to play, we know they're not supposed to play, then, you know, we have a battle. And you know, how to communicate, how to approach that coach in a way of non-threatening, how to build that relationship So as an organization, we're in the infancy stages of that, of how to, what that looks like. But again, Wade and I were talking a couple of days ago that I value Wade's advice and his guidance and his leadership and everything with FCA, that I believe that, you know, at least here in Texas and in the region that he covers, that we're going to be able to work together and see how we can do that and work that. And that's professionally, it's just stretched me in ways of looking and serving our profession a lot differently.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about the FCA, and we're going to talk some more about FCA camps and how some of the people in different areas can get to that. But the title of this was Going Global. So, Paul, why don't you start us off talking about how someone can get involved and get outside of, you know, Houston or outside of Tennessee or Corpus Christi, wherever they are.
Yeah. Well, first of all, is that one, the athletic trainer, you know, the athletic trainer needs to realize that there are opportunities. You know, Wade was talking about phone calls and phone calls he gets on a daily basis. We get emails constantly of people that will email us or come across us either through a Google search or Twitter or Facebook or whatever other type of social media, or just, you know, come, you know, a newsletter. Or and the one thing that has resonated over the last 4 years of us sending volunteers is that one of our questions has kind of formulates, and their response has been pretty much the same. They never knew that they could use their skills, their skill set on the mission field. Blows my mind that we just never have connected them. We just never have connected our profession of athletic training and sharing Christ, even though, you know, Sam and Jeremy, y'all do that, you know, maybe not overtly, but you do it in a way, but on the mission field around the world. And, you know, right now, Christian Sports Medicine Alliance at any given time can be probably in at least 10 different countries. We have been to Israel. We're going back to Israel for the third year this year. I'll be in Cuba this year in June for a week, for 8 days actually. We're in the Dominican. We're in Belize, Costa Rica, Honduras for this year. We're actually sending a sports medicine team to Honduras to work with the Olympic Committee and other sports ministries down there, sports federations and soccer and volleyball and baseball and so forth. We've been to Kosovo. We're in Ukraine. Ukraine is through FCA. FCA in Ukraine, we've worked with them numerous times. We're kind of letting that situation die down over there so it's a little more stable before we go back. But we go to Kenya. We've been to Ethiopia. Really all over the globe. And people ask me, you know, when I talk to volunteers, they say, well, where can I go? And I said, where do you want to go? You tell me where you want to go, we'll find a place for you to go. And we'll find a country. We have contacts within contacts that we can get in touch with and send you and maybe a team to go. So the opportunities to go global are endless. Actually, they're untapped. This is really outside of some other organizations we're partnering with sports ministries like FCA when they go global to provide them with sports medicine coverage and sports medicine personnel and professionals to go with them. So anywhere you want to go, we can send you.
When we were talking about this episode Monday when we were kind of practicing, Shakira mentioned that she would like to do something like that.
Yes.
But there, she was like, well, let's put something together. We can go as a group of student athletic trainers. Mm-hmm. What about that?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, that's a good question, Jeremy, because we say yes. We say yes as long as we have a professional to go with them. If we have a professional that wants to take his or her student athletic training staff and to go and do missions, absolutely. We can find a place for you to go. And we really don't want to just limit it to you going to, say, the Dominican for a week and all you do is athletic training. You know, we've actually had feedback from some of our volunteers that when they go to the mission field, they don't want to do just athletic training because they do that here. They want to experience the entire mission opportunity and experience, whether it be going and doing some athletic training, teaching some clinics, working with some kids and athletes, but also getting out in the community and working in an orphanage, or maybe going to build a house, or you know, go to a feeding kitchen or something like that. They want to have the entire mission experience outside of what they do here in the States. And we believe that we've actually given some of our people the opportunity to do that.
All right, so can you talk a little bit more about, if I say I wanted to do that, can you tell me a little bit more what I would need to do?
Well, first of all, you just need to contact us through our website. Go to our website. It's www.christiansportsmed.org and fill out a volunteer application. And if there's not a opportunity on there that you see that you want to be a part of, just, you know, fill it out anyway. Kara Taylor, which is our Director of Volunteers and Mobilization, will contact you. You share with her what you would like. Then more than likely what she's going to do is get with me and say, hey, we've got Jeremy Jackson wants to go to Costa Rica. Well, we may not have a project necessarily that's posted in Costa Rica, but we have our missionaries that we do partnership with in Costa Rica that we can contact them and find out if there's a need. And once we find out there's a need, then we start working with you to form a team, and you go and do missions. But first of all, you need to go to our website and you need to fill out a volunteer application. That starts the ball rolling.
All right, so I just looked back quick, and I know episode 80, episode 58, and episode 50, we've talked with Diane. Mm-hmm. She's the one that she's been to the Ukraine a couple times.
Yes.
Then we talked to you. We talked to Renee, Shanae Llewellyn and Renata, yes, DeLello. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was getting this combined. And so we've talked about the trips and the differences they've made and stuff like that. So if you wanted to go back and listen to those, again, that was episode 80, episode 58, and then episode 50, where we've talked to Paul or any of the other people that went with CSMA to the foreign trips before. So definitely start by going to their website and seeing where you would want to go. But, you know, if you want to hear stories for people that have gone, they have stories on their website. We have them on ours. So, all right. Sam, have you considered any of the foreign trips?
Yes, we have. My wife and I have prayed about it each year, and it's been something where we've been so involved with FCA, we kind of feel like that's our niche right now. But it's definitely something that we would like to do in the future. I went on a foreign mission trip when I was in high school with my family through our church, and it was really life-changing. It's just something very special. We went to Brazil for 2 weeks and went up and down the Amazon River. So that, I think it's an awesome opportunity, especially as athletic trainers, to be able to use our skill set, as Paul said, and use it for Christ.
Hey, Jeremy, one thing that Sam, I want to make, you know, Sam and his wife are not only, you know, they're serving FCA, but, you know, we are, you know, partnering with FCA at A&M, Bill Moore, which is the, I guess, wait, is he the camp director? Or is he?
He's one of the camp directors.
One of the camp directors. Talking to Bill is really fun. I love talking to Bill because he's just really down to earth, really easy to talk to. And talking to him about 3 or 4 years ago about the A&M camp, and, you know, seeing how Christian Sports Medicine Alliance and FCA could work together and how we can do this and knowing Sam and his wife and how they're just, if you ever have an opportunity to meet these two, you need to meet them because they are a team, not only an athlete training, but a team for the kingdom. And they just really love the Lord, but also love what they do. And when Sam and his wife started going to the FCA camp and going, you know, with CSMA and partnering up with FCA, it really opened both of our eyes, now FCA and CSMA, to the opportunities that that we could give our profession to serve in these domestic camps. So, yeah, Sam, I appreciate you and your wife continually going back to that camp, even though if you never go on an international project, A&M will always need you.
Amen to that.
All right, so we've talked about a little bit about the foreign trips. Again, with any mission trip, as far as I know, there's always going to be a cost involved. And so, what are some of the things that people have done for that, Paul? Because, you know, if I'm going to fly to Costa Rica and spend 2 weeks, it's probably going to cost me, I don't know, $2,000 or something.
Well, it depends on where you go. I always tell people that if they want to go to the Dominican will cost, right now, round trip airline ticket will be about $600. To stay there for a week is about $795 to $995, depending on where you're staying and the partner that we're using, the ministry partner we're using. Obviously, if you're going through FCA Ukraine, it's going to cost a whole heck of a lot more because you got to fly across the pond to get there. But there's you know, and depending on when you go, obviously, you know, we can send you over to the Christmas break or spring break, I mean, anytime during the summer. But it really depends on the country that you want to go to, how long you want to stay, the partner that we're partnering with, and their ability to do things and set you up, and what they can provide, what they cannot provide. So it really depends, and that's the reason why we try to get people involved early, so they have time to raise their support, and so they're not looking at a month, 30-day window to get $2,000 in, so they can have 3 or 4 months to raise the support. And there's some things coming down the pipe for us in 2015 that we're going to be adding to the ministry in the way of international fundraising and resources and tools and stuff to help our future volunteers get to the mission field and make it a little bit easier for them and understand fundraising and make it a little more mainstream and get it so they can get to the mission field a lot easier.
All right. So let's bring it a little closer to home now. Sam, obviously you talked about A&M, and then Wade, when we talked, you'd mentioned you're going to look up this stuff for Tennessee, because I know we have some people in Nashville. I don't know if I mentioned Corpus, but Corpus is close enough to where they could go to drive up. Yep. To A&M if they had to. But Wade, why don't you talk about some of the opportunities for people, for athletic trainers here locally in the States?
Absolutely. Just as Sam has done and Paul has for years, you can't do sports camp without great trainers. And so there's a huge need and a tremendous opportunity to serve with FCA all around the nation. You can go to fcacamps.org and figure out what you want to do. But I did look up camps in Tennessee. There's a camp at Bryan College. There's one at Covenant College. And they can just go to ChattanoogaFCA.org, because that office kind of heads up most of the camping stuff. So there's lots of opportunities throughout Tennessee. And then in Texas, you know, we have a great camp. We have a leadership camp at Abilene. In Abilene at Hardin-Simmons University, we have a sports leadership camp at Dallas Baptist University. We have a sports camp at Texas Tech University up in Lubbock. We have a sports camp at Texas A&M, which has been mentioned here. When we think sports camps, you know, football, basketball, men and women's basketball, volleyball, soccer, tennis, wrestling, cross country, baseball, softball. I mean, they're just almost every sport. Each camp's a little different, offers different sports. But so the sky's the limit as it relates to what kind of training and instruction you want to get. And then we have a coach's marriage retreat at La Tureta Lake and Resort. Would love, Sam, you and your wife, we will give y'all a scholarship to that if you can make it July 9th through the 12th. It is a fantastic retreat, Paul, and we'll offer that to any trainer that's going with you anywhere. We'll scholarship them to our coaches' retreat. We would love to minister to the marriages. And what Sam said, I mean, it's so much easier when your spouse is engaged in what you're doing. And it's a two-way street. I've got to be as engaged in my wife's activities as she is in mine. But what a testimony that is. So anything we can do for you guys, Sam, let us know.
Thank you.
But yeah, there are TexasFCACamps.org for any of that information. And then ChattanoogaFCA.org for information for Tennessee camps. But in general, FCACamps.org will get you any state. Surfing camp in California to lacrosse camp in Maryland. So whatever your sport is, we can help you out. And to Paul's point, you know, we have divided, you know, the nation has 12 regions, and I'm the vice president of the Southwest region, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas. But we've divided the world into 12 super regions. And so I get a chance and the opportunity to provide leadership into Latin America. So the Dominican and Mexico and all throughout Chile and Guatemala, Venezuela and Colombia. And so, you know, we do American football in Mexico. We do baseball in the Dominican. We're working with all the Olympic coaches in Guatemala. So that's something we might want to talk about, Paul. Just all throughout the region, there's lots of things, even within FCA, to go into Latin America, as Paul said, pretty quick trip. You don't have to fly as far. So lots of opportunities that even partnering with FCA could help you link the gap into an international trip. So yeah, we're very excited about what the Lord's doing through the camping program. It's FCA started in 1954, but the very first thing they did was a summer camp in 1956. And so we believe camp is the springboard to everything we do. And so the camping program is a big, big deal.
All right. So Sam, Paul, let's talk about what the camp actually looks like when you're there, how long you're there, the commitment. Because, you know, obviously as athletic trainers, we want to rest over spring break and over summer. We don't want to keep doing the same job over and over. So tell me why I would choose to do what I'm doing here at work for free over there at a camp. Tell me what it looks like.
I think one, I mean, from my experience, I've done, oh gosh, I can't remember, Wade, how many times I've done camps for FCA, more times than I have fingers and toes. That's how Wade and I came to be really good friends, is just through the camping experience of working camps at Del Lago, which is now not the couples camp anymore. But
that's La Toretta. So we're back at Del Lago. It's
called La Toretta.
They've got a family. They've got a family swim park with a lazy river. It's fantastic. And it's a family camp.
Sam, if you and your wife can go, you'll have the best eating experience in the entire world, because they will feed like no other. Boy, I tell you, it's like a cruise on dry land. But, you know, in the camps that there's we do have a couple of camps listed on our website. We have the Texas Tech camp listed on our website that we're looking for athletic trainers for. We need four of them to go to that one at Texas Tech. We have a Weekend of Champions in April put on by Nathan Jones out of McAllen. And then is it a leadership or sports camp in June or July? Is that right?
Yeah, and I failed to mention it's a first-year team camp.
Team camp,
so
that's
right. So we have club basketball teams. We have a 7-on-7 state-sponsored camp that will end up with a tournament on Thursday that the winners will get to compete in the state championship, and a cheerleading camp. So those are teams that can come to Texas A&M Kingsville.
Right. So any athletic trainers that y'all know that would like to work one of those camps, I know that there's in different camps are they offer different things to the athletic trainers in the way of stipends if they can provide anything budget wise. Just go to our website, christiansportsmed.org, and sign up, and then after that we funnel you to FCA, and obviously you'll go through FCA and do all and there's a double basically we look at it as a double background check, make sure you're up to par. But the camp experience is just phenomenal. I remember vividly my very first camp experience as a student. Was at Texas A&M, and his name, the guy, the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist that was there, Wade will know this man personally. His name was Oscar Rohn. And the message that he delivered, I still read it to this day. It's about believing the good report, and I remember the title. And I remember seeing him at Del Lago one year and mentioning that to him, and he remembers that camp. But the camp experience for me with being an athletic trainer at the camps that I've done, whether it be Weekend of Champions here in Dallas, which I did so many, and then Del Lago and A&M, and we really, honestly, it really wasn't athletic training. It wasn't. It was more of a opportunity to be in a setting and a surrounding that I really got fed and uplifted, encouraged more by doing what I do professionally than I have anywhere. I mean, it was really just an incredible time of just being energized. You wouldn't think it when you're doing what you do that you get energized also, but it really was. I mean, even though I was going, 90 to nothing during that week of camp, it didn't seem like it. Because it was just a different mindset, a different way of thinking about it. And we have found that the athletic trainers that go with us and work with FCA at these camps, they want to be there. They could care less whether they get paid or not. And they really, really want to be there. It's kind of like with Sam and his wife. They want to be there. They want to serve. They want to be invest in these kids' lives. And that's, like I said, that's just the reason why I think that FCA and CSMA make a great, great marriage, at least here in Texas, and serving together over the last 3 years and seeing our relationship grow and become stronger and knowing and kind of feeling each other out and knowing where we're coming from, that we can really impact people's lives in multiple ways from multiple different areas. So that's the camping. That's for me. That's how I've always viewed camps. And Wade's right. The camping experience is so critical to the life of not only coaches, but athletes.
All right, Sam, what's your perspective on, kind of tell me the details of what an FCA camp looks like.
Okay. To add what Paul said, you know, it is a lot of work, but it's rewarding work because you're doing what you do every day, but it's in a different kind of setting, and it's more interacting with people and kids on a different level than you do every day. So to me and my wife, we're hugely rewarded and blessed for doing that. I mean, it's a lot of work when you think back on it, like, man, we did a ton of stuff, but you don't realize it at the time. So for the FCA camp at College Station, it's about a 6-day commitment. Typically you come in on a Sunday and you have a staff meeting. We'll meet with Bill and the other directors. And then as a athletic training staff, we get together and kind of talk about the logistics of camp. We'll split up. There's 7 sports. So we have football, basketball, which is split into guys and girls, volleyball, softball, baseball, and cross country. And so there'll be at least 1 athletic trainer assigned to each sport. Football, they like to put 3 or 4 with, just because there's probably 300 kids. And we handle everything medical, from dispensing the kids prescriptions to dealing with the injuries that occur on the field to the kid that gets sick at 2 a.m. We're the ones who handle all of that. As I said before, there's some local doctors there in College Station that volunteer their time, orthopedic surgeons and general practitioners, and they're on call during the day, and they'll have a clinic every night so we can take a kid who's sick or who got hurt during the day and have them be evaluated. And you know, during the day, you know, breakfast is 7 o'clock-ish. We'll have a morning camp from 8 to 11-ish, and then there'll be a lunch break. And then there's more sports-specific activities during the afternoon. Usually get an hour or so to clean up before dinner. And then there's the large group worship time, and that's where the focal point speaker will talk. And we're a part of all that. We're not really a part of the students' small group time, but we're definitely included and encouraged and wanted to be at all the big group activities. And then, like I said, once the camp is over, we kind of come together, talk about any logistical things that we need to, and that's about it.
And so it roughly runs that same way the whole week.
Yeah. Other than the first day is more staff stuff, kind of just talking about what needs to be done, how it needs to be done. And first day registration is kind of a big hassle, you know, getting all the kids' paperwork and medicine together. And then after the end of camp, just kind of clean it up. But the actual camp itself, that's how it runs.
And so there's, you know, here at the school, we have to deal with coming in early for treatments and then after practice treatments. That really doesn't go on there at camp, right?
No. It's not your, like I said, it's not your typical athletic training setting. We don't have any modalities to really treat kids. I mean, we basic triage. If we can help it with tape or something that we have with us basic supply-wise, then we will. There are kids that come in. You know, my first year we had a kid that came in and he had a partial MCL tear, and he wanted to try and play, and we were like, man, you know, we can't, and we have your doctors know this, as you can't participate. You know, there's nothing that we can do to facilitate you safely participating in these football drills, or, you know, there's not much that we can do. And, you know, as far as healing wise, we don't have a lot at our disposal. And there's, to touch on that too, expand on that too, there's kids from all over the state, all levels of classifications from 6-man to 6A. And so there's some kids that they go to schools that don't have athletic trainers. So we see some stuff that the kid may have been dealing with for months. And they say, hey, you know, this is hurting. I haven't told anybody. I don't have anybody at my school that I can talk to. So we deal with that to the kid that's coming off of ACL surgery. And he's, you know, he's just now getting cleared to go through, you know, running activities. And so we have to kind of deal with all those kind of situations.
All right, so Paul, Wade, do y'all feel that it's going to be roughly the same format or situation at most of the camps at the other locations other than A&M?
Yeah, now kind of talk about what Sam mentioned. I don't know if he necessarily knows this. Wade and I have talked about this, and Nathan and I have talked about this, that I think probably in the future, maybe obviously, and I don't think this year, but possibly in 2016 and beyond, there could very well be a, especially at the team camps, like A&M and possibly like maybe the sports camp or something like that, we could actually implement a student athletic training huddle component within the camp, to where, you know, like a team camp, when you know, a football huddle, they go to their huddle group, it's all football players. Well, you know, Wade and I, you know, obviously see the need of bringing in student athletic trainers to a camp, and we can actually have a student athletic training huddle at these FCA camps. And having you, you know, Sam and other Ben and David Ortmeyer and Rick Redden and all those the other athletic trainers that are serving at these camps is to, you know, really kind of build up and invest in the lives of these kids for a whole week. And it may be, you know, A&M, maybe next year or the year after, maybe the pilot, the kind of the pilot program, the model. And then, you know, I think that Wade and I can work together, obviously, to see this grow to other camps and get more camps and more camp directors involved.
Yeah, one I think thing that I would... one thing I wanted to add, Jeremy, is as Sam has experienced, one of the positive selling points is that it's a family style. And so we're not asking the trainer to come again by themselves to leave their family again. You know, we're asking them to bring their family. And those kids that are appropriate, they can be a part of camp. And those kids that are too young, we have like a vacation Bible school for them. And wives, we have wives things to do. And so it's a real family atmosphere. So they're doing this together. Yes, there are moments when the dads and moms are coaching their prospective sport. But overall, it's a real family feel, and we try to bring it all. We try to bring everybody in and engage them all into the experience.
Yeah, that was one of my next questions. Is because for me, it would be really tough. Obviously, I don't want to leave. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 4-month-old. I don't want to leave them for 6 days during my summer break. That's the time I spend with them. And so, you know, I've talked to Robbie McFarland because him and Sammy. They go to the A&M camp as well. And, you know, he was talking about how they have stuff for family. And so it'd be a good time for my wife to be able to refresh and be ministered to because she leads our children's department at church. And so it's kind of a same thing as, you know, she's being pulled on or pulled from. So maybe in the future we can do that. I'm not sure that taking 3 young kids to FCA camp, it's pretty tough to stay anywhere that long with 3 young kids. But
I'm going to tell you, I had a good friend of mine that I tried to get to camp for years and he had 5 children, and they were all young. And I mean, even as I would ask him every year, you need to come to camp, would you come to, I mean, I'm thinking, man, there's no, it's just a challenge getting everybody through the food line, you know, because kids can't carry their own trays. And I mean, I get it. But he finally said yes. And they had a baby and 4 of the children, and they came, and you know, you have basically an apartment to yourself, so the rooming situation's fantastic. It's not a dorm at all. It's Taj Mahal. It's a nice place, and so you have your own apartment. You know, 3-bedroom apartment, so you'll be taken care of. He hasn't missed a camp the last 8 years, and so just to again, when the timing's right, you'll know it. But I know he always says, gosh, wait, how many years did it take for me to finally come? And now he like runs the place. I mean, it's amazing. He never wants to miss. His kids have grown up there. Nightly devotions have come from things they've learned at camp. I mean, it's just been a tremendous positive for him. But, you know, sometimes you think it's just a tough deal.
All right. So we've talked about professionally how this being involved with, you know, going overseas and some of the other episodes that I talked about in episode 50, 58 or episode 80, that we focus more on the international trips because, you know, they had just come back from going to the Dominican or going to Ukraine. And so I don't know if those trips impact any more because you're seeing such a different level, Renato was talking about how they were going in canoes up and down to these little villages. And so, you know, or Diane was talking about one of the things that they were teaching people was how to wash a wound with water rather than just let it sit. And so just the change of perspective is one thing I really look forward to possibly doing is going at some point to visit these places and be involved with that. But I'd really love to be able to take my kids because my son always tells me he's a junior athletic trainer or he wants to be just like daddy. And so, you know, we practice going over the bones and, you know, all that stuff. But just to be able to teach them compassion like that, I think it'd be really awesome.
Well, I think, you know, Jeremy, that is, you know, to be honest with you, that's where you need to look into places like the Dominican and Belize to where if you wanted to take your kids, because the way that we have it set up is that you get to experience. And it's a short trip. It's an hour and a half to Belize, and it's a short trip, pretty inexpensive. And our partners in Belize, whatever you want to do is what you do. I mean, if you want to go and work with kids and put your kids working with kids, doing VBS or you know, whatever, that's, we can set that up. And that's the great thing about, especially in Belize and in the Dominican, is that our ministry partners that we partner with down there have they want their volunteers to experience the entire mission experience. They want to get out of the comfort zone. They want to go do other things. So, I just encourage you, whenever, and Wade's right, when the time is right, you'll know it, to get out there and do it.
All right, so let's take a minute and talk about personally. You know, we talked about professionally, it gives you a different perspective, but let's talk about personally, how have these experiences at FCA camp serving, choosing to give up your time, not working for them, how has that affected you? And we'll start with you, Sam, personally.
It's an encouragement. You know, just going back to the whole environment thing and creating a positive environment, it's, to me as an athletic trainer, and Paul stated this at the beginning of this chat, that we work so long, you know, sometimes we need that encouragement and validation that what we're doing, our skills, that it's creating a positive, it's a positive purpose, you know, people are being benefited from it. And so my wife and I, we really see that at these FCA camps, and, you know, whether it's just a conversation with a kid or just, you know, taping somebody's ankle, we can really see that at these, and it's encouragement going into the next school year for us.
All right, Paul.
Oh, you know, just from, you know, going back over the years of working, you know, especially living in this area, working the 8 or 9 weekend of champions that I was able to work with at, with the Dallas FCA group, and then working the couple of years, 2 years, 2 or 3 years in a row at Del Lago. And it's just being able to be around, be around friends that I don't get to see a lot. This is the first time I've seen Wade in almost 2 years. But knowing, you know, it seems like it's been, you know, but just knowing that, you know, we've known each other, Wade and I've known each other almost 20 years, and knew him when he was just an area rep. But just the being around the positive influence, and, you know, the camp experience, again, I think, you know, when you get down there, you got coaches, you got staff, you got kids, you got everything, that you're really in a box for about a week. I mean, you're huddled together literally, and you're in close quarters, and it gets a little testy, and you can, you know, it's hot and sweaty and this and that and the other. And I've been woke up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with a kid with a stomach ache, and, you know, but for some odd reason, it's just, you just know that when you're in a part of doing, you're doing something like that, all that stuff doesn't matter. Now, that happened in the States or in the athletic training room, that might be a different story. But just the camp experience is just, personally, it's just really given me a lot of energy, kind of where I can just relax and not have to just, I mean, where I can relax and recuperate and energize my battery. Even though I'm away from friends and family for a week, I'm able to re-energize everything.
You know, the camp opportunity renews the why. I mean, you guys know how to do what you do. You're professionals. I mean, when you think about going internationally, I've been reminded we know 90% more than they will ever know. And so we're not the answers to their problems, but we're part of the solution. I don't think I'm a great coach. I've never coached a day in my life, but I know 90% more than most of those people, because they're just getting started playing. And so any trainer that would go, I mean, they would be like Dr. Welby. I mean, they're going to be like the professionals, because we all know in America, we've been so blessed with the information and education. We know so much more than we think we know, and the world would love to have it. The training and the information we have, they don't need all the resources. They need all that, but they need the training and the knowledge and the info. So we know so much more than we think we know. But the camp and the going on mission renews the why. I mean, when you get there and you remember why you have invested all of the time and energy into what you do, that's what feeds the flame inside to continue on. Because, yes, there's a bunch of snotty-nosed kids, but there are those handful that get it. There are those handful that want everything you have. And when you give to them, you're going to influence their life and impact it for eternity. And so it really renews the why. I think that is what happens for all of our coaches as they go. Back to Sam's point, that's the why helps you create the culture when you're back at school, because you're renewed in that and you're not drained or tired from it. And so the relationships, you know, the relationships with the staff you're working with, but also just renewing that purpose of why you do what you do.
Yep. And I think also is that, you know, I look at when I think of just relationships and renewing the why, and Wade, I think you'll agree with this, at Del Lago, it's coaches, you know, with coaches and their wives. And, you know, there's single people there, but it's just coaches. You know, when I was the athletic trainer there for 2 years, the coaches that are there, they want to be there. And the same thing goes for camp, whether it be FCA or Tech or DBU, the coaches, the huddle leaders, whether it be college kids, they want to be there. So you're able to, you know, with coaches, you're able just to be able to interact with them and them not, you know, be worrying about a win or being worried about, you know, this or this or this or worrying about how they're going to, you know, talk to this parent. They all want to be there. We're all there for the same exact reason. And that's investing in the lives of kids, and that's in furthering the kingdom, and that's working together for the kingdom. And, you know, so that's, you know, and that's just another experience for mine is that working with coaches and huddle leaders, the college kids that come down there to be huddle leaders, it's because we're all there for the same reason. We want to be there. There's no, you know, we're not looking at each other, we're not territorial, you know, we're all there for the same reason.
All right. So here's what we're going to do real quick. I'm going to ask you to think about what's your kind of summary or your big takeaway from today. But while we're doing that, we'll start with Paul, and then we'll go to Wade and find out like how we can connect with you. So while the others are sharing, think about what your big takeaway was. We'll come back to that. Paul, why don't you tell us how we can connect with you?
Well, I've been waiting to tell this, we're developing what we call a sports medicine prayer team. Again, it goes back to, you know, we have a lot of people in our profession, not just athletic trainers, but physical therapists and orthos and strength and conditioning specialists, sports performance people that sit under the umbrella of sports medicine that are unreached, that, you know, may be in the traditional setting, may be in a business, a corporation, an athletic training room, but no one has ever physically face-to-face shared the gospel with them. And they're hurting. They're struggling with whatever it is going on in their life. It could be personally, financially, business, whatever. We want to develop a sports medicine prayer team of people within our profession, within our community of sports medicine, that will join our sports medicine prayer team to pray for our profession, pray for our colleagues. If you have a prayer request, whether it be, you know, you can keep it anonymous, you don't have to share your name, but you can just list your prayer request. Go to our website, go to prayer request, put it on there, and it goes out to the people that are on our prayer team right now. Also, if you want to get involved with, we send out a daily devotional every single day. It's called Treatment Time, and it goes straight to your inbox. Just go to our website, sign up for it. You can also get our monthly newsletter. But we also just want you to be engaged. You know, let us know if you want to get involved with CSMA in your state or in your region, your area, your city. Contact me. Contact me personally. And my email is on our website, or it's paul@christiansportsmed.org. And let me know that you want to get involved. You want to get plugged in, and we can talk and visit and see how God can use you in your area to reach your profession, reach your colleagues. And, you know, if it's in an area like in the Houston area or in Texas, and obviously Wade knows everybody within his ministry, you know, we can, you know, I think that Wade and I are going to be working a lot more together after our last couple of conversations to get people plugged in to ministry on campuses and ministry within the community. We've got some ideas that we want to do, I think, together. But let us know. Let us know you're out there. Let us know how we can serve you as a ministry. What do you want us to do? How do you want us to serve you? And we will make it happen. And if we can't make it happen, we're going to find somebody that can help us make it happen.
Right.
Because we are here to serve you and to help you navigate those 60 to 70 hours a week in that athletic training room or in that clinic or in that hospital. We're here to serve you and to be an encouragement to you and to be an influence to you on a daily basis.
All right, Wade, how can they connect with you?
This is my greatest takeaway.
That's how they can connect with you.
the best way to connect with me is the email whopkins@fca.org. We're here to serve. Anything we can do in the region or around the world, I'll definitely connect you with someone who can help you do that. But, you know, texasfcacamps.org for anyone that wants to try to get to a camp. So it's not difficult at all.
All right. Sam, do you have any desire for people to contact you?
I don't have a Twitter, so I mean, I do Facebook and LinkedIn, and that's about it.
All right. So if you want to know more about the camps, I know Robbie McFarland is on Twitter, and he's on there quite a bit. His name is Man Myth Legend. I think it's Fight Finish Faith, but Finish is missing an eye on the second eye. So you could definitely connect with Robin. He could tell you about the camps there at A&M, or, you know, just as an athletic trainer experience there, you could do that. So, all right. So now we'll go back and we'll talk about your one takeaway, and then we'll wrap it up. Paul?
One takeaway. Again, I just think that, you know, there's a reason why that both of these two organizations are on this call together, on this Skype call, because I think that it's all done but for a purpose. And my takeaway is that there is great things about to happen in the relationship between Christian Sports Medicine Alliance and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I think that there is there's something on the horizon that's going to happen, that our relationship, our friendship, our partnership, our ministry together is going to grow, and we're going to be able to learn. I'm going to be able to learn. I mean, I was on staff with FCA. But I'm going to be able to learn more now, seeing and knowing what I know, which is not a lot, but knowing what I know and working with Wade and picking his brain and learning from him of how to do ministry, because he's been doing it. He does it daily and day in, day out, and he's good at it. And, you know, learning from him and just partnering with him as a ministry in his organization here in Texas is going to be monumental for Christian Sports Medicine Alliance to grow, and for us to reach our profession for the kingdom, and to engage them and to do domestic work with camps here with FCA, and do international work and put them on the field.
All right, Wade.
Well, one of the greatest takeaway was my for the first time realizing how powerful and positive the role of trainers have been in my life. I can't think of one who kept me from accomplishing what God had wired me to do. So really grateful for that. But secondly, as I'm sitting here, Paul and I had a conversation the other day, but I'm sitting here thinking, why don't we certify training huddles? I mean, Sam said he had 38 student trainers at Sam Rayburn High School. I mean, Sam could have certified that huddle, and now once a month or once a week in the training room had a small group time for those who wanted to come. So Paul and I, in the next couple of days, are going to begin to discuss how can we do more on campus through the lives of trainers and their student trainers. So indeed, it'll be a great partnership.
All right, Sam?
As an athletic trainer and a believer in Christ, you know, I never know who I'm ministering to, whether it's just by taping an ankle or giving some advice on, you know, dietary stuff or whatever it might be. Just to remember that to have a servant-like attitude and to always be positive and to be used just by doing what I love to do day by day. You know, I love these two organizations, CSMA and FCA, and as Wade and Paul have both said, you know, you meet so many different people, and it's so neat to go to a camp and be around fellow believers who love the Lord just as much as you do, and, you know, athletic trainers who take just as much pride in their work as you do and who also love the Lord. And that's very encouraging to me as a professional. And it, you know, it, as Wade said, it kind of refreshes you for the next school year.
All right. And I would say my big thing is hopefully that my beautiful wife is listening, and because I had mentioned possibly working the camp. And one of the things for me is she says that whenever I'm home, everything's busier. So like last week on spring break, we were just busier because I was there. So now they get to slow down and calm down because I'm not there. Because I want to do things. I want to go do things. And, you know, and I'm always thinking, all right, well, what can I do this summer that'll, you know, I can fix or build, or what kind of trainings can I go to instead of just kind of slowing down and calming down. And so, you know, if she's there listening, then she gets to hear your perspective, you know, that it's a nice place, that it's relaxing, that there's things for the kids to do. If I was to go and work like the A&M camp or one of the other the camps, things like that, that it wouldn't be just about me dragging them to a dorm room for her to sit and try and entertain three kids on the road, that it would be something nice and refreshing. And so hopefully that's something that next summer I can plan more for and be involved with. And so I think that's my biggest deal, is just the reassurance, hearing from somebody that has a family, or that, you know, has specific experience with the family. Cause, you know, Robbie talked to me about it, but he doesn't have any kids. And so it's hard to understand what it's like with kids if you've never had any. So just hearing your story about the guy with the five kids showing up there and them continuing to go for 8 years in a row, it just really seems to make it doable, make it an option for me. So,
hey, make sure you and your wife, I'll throw out the same opportunity. Would love to get you and your family to the La Toretta family camp. So you guys just connect with me and we'll get you set up.
All right. So I'll email you that afterwards. And again, if I wanted to email you, it would be whopkins@fca.org.
Yes.
All right. Just making sure I typed it in there correctly. All right. So GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, is one of the ones that makes the CEU opportunities possible. And so I continue to thank them. And you know, I'm involved with the website there, but it's a really cool organization, getting to know people and interact with people, but making it so that the five people logged in watching are able to earn CEUs for listening to us talk about opportunities for them to serve, because it does grow you personally and professionally, and helps what you do. I think what Wade said earlier was it reminds you of the why what you're doing, because it's so easy for us to forget. Oh, well, now I have to go back to work on Sunday for football treatments and this and, you know, but you remember why you're doing it. And so if you get a chance, I would definitely check out one of these camps. Maybe start small here, local, with one of the FCA camps, and then build into one of the bigger ones where you're going overseas, or just jump right in, whatever. So again, GHATS makes the CEU opportunities available, and I'm real grateful for that. And then a new friend, David Young, he was on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He took action. I sent an email out to my email list saying, hey, I'm trying to make the podcast better. I'm going to try and go to this conference during the summer. Through Donors Choose, they're an organization that is kind of like a crowdfunding or a GoFundMe type thing, but specifically for teachers and education. And so he took action. He put money where his mouth is. So I know he's a real big advocate of the show. He likes what we're doing, but he actually took a step and put his money there to help support me. So I just really want to say, David, thank you. You and DeSoto High School for everything you're doing there, but specifically for your support whenever it's needed. So if you want to check out our website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, almost every single Wednesday. We're going to miss a couple coming up because state testing, but almost every single Wednesday you can watch us live. I know coming up I have a Monday show that hopefully it's going to be live. We're talking about sudden cardiac death in athletes. But again, all that stuff you can find out mostly on Twitter, or if you can join the email list there on the website. So on Twitter, I'm PHS Sports Med. Google Plus, it's Sports Medicine Broadcast 2. The facebook.com/phsathletictraining. Emailing me is jhjackson@pasadenaisd.org. But for Jeremy, Paul, Wade, Sam, and all my sports medicine students, that's a wrap.